Welcome back to Plot Twist. I forgot. I am Davin.
I'm Laura.
And I'm already having technical difficulties. This is falling.
As soon as we pressed play, that little guy was like, no, absolutely not.
Yeah, my pop filter was like, how about you get f***ed? Anyways, thank you for joining us. So it is July? Is it July? Yes.
It's July. Somewhere.
And so, okay, story time. So this month we are reading The Library After Dark by Andy Pligo, which was very good, and I highly recommend that you read it because this book, it's a locked room mystery. There are so many twists and turns, and yes, we spoil books a lot. This one just feels very different to spoil because there is so many different plot points to talk about. So highly recommend that you go and read it. But because locked room mysteries kind of feel list of them, I should say, feel overdone. Like, you can Google them and you're on Thriller Instagram, you're going to throw a rock and find 75. So instead of doing that, we are going to tell you about our second quarter favorites because we did that for Q1. So we thought, why not do it for Q2? And here we are. And our reading interesting. How would you describe your reading the last 3 months?
I mean, mine's pretty standard. Every book on here, not every book. You know, I'm still doing a lot of audio. Almost everything has been horror. I have branched out a little bit from that. I was like really stuck on horror, and then I read a book I'll talk about later, and I was like, oh yeah, I love fantasy. I forgot.
I forgot. This is fun.
Yeah.
It's funny. Mine has almost exclusively been fantasy and some romance. So I don't know what the hell is going on, but
what kind of romance? Dan?
Very okay. One of them was normal. Okay. One of them was the off-campus series because, like everyone else on the internet.
How many books in the series did you read?
The first three. I have not read the fourth one.
Oh, that's not so bad. No, I really thought you were going to be like 8.
And I've read, no, this isn't Zodiac Academy, okay? I've read the first three, and I don't feel like killing myself, so we're fine, okay? And there isn't anything bad about Zodiac Academy, but it really affects your will to live, man. After a while, you're like, I don't know how these characters are still doing it. And I also read Kiss the Basilisk. I read both of them. Snake.
Oh, wow, you read the sequel.
I did read the sequel. There's no way I could have not.
I wasn't there for that, so I missed out.
No, you were. I texted you. I texted you the day when I started it, and I was like, cool, they're drinking cum wine, so just so you know how it's going.
You did. You did tell me when you... I do. I remember you saying that to me.
So choices were made. Do I regret it? No. Because it's so funny. Like, it's just one of those books where you're like, I can't help but not talk about it all the time because what in the actual world am I reading right now? Like,
well, there's a reason why so many people are talking about it, you know?
Yes.
Like, it's just, sometimes it's fun to just be like, this is so weird.
Yes, exactly. It's so weird. But honestly, like, I follow the author now and she is so hilarious on Instagram. So it's also like, fun now where it's okay, what are you going to do? Like, am I going to read the prequel? Yes. Am I going to read her other book? Yes, because the plot is men are born in prison and have to earn their way out of prison, and that just
love
sounds
that
like a really ideal world to live.
That's the way it should be.
So yes, but I don't know, it feels kind of slower than I think the first quarter felt for me. And I think, but we both have 4 favorites, right?
Yes.
For this round? Okay.
Yeah. I have 4 5-star reads from Q2.
Do you want to kick us off? What's your first one?
All right. I'm going to go in chronological order.
Ooh, fun.
The first one that I rated 5 stars is The Girl with 1,000 Faces by Soon-Yi Dean.
We talked about this one, right? A little bit, very briefly.
I think
when you
so.
Were here?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, why are these always so long?
I swear, synopsis, what's the plural of synopsis? Synopsis?
We have done this several times.
We probably have. I don't remember. You guys,
we have not decided.
Synopsis, that's the new thing.
Synopsis.
I feel like they've gotten so long recently. Like, that was never always a thing. And now it's like, here's 7 paragraphs about the book you're going to read. And it's like, meh. Like, 2.5 is fine.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'll just read the part in bold. This is a dark fantasy set in a historical Hong Kong that combines ancient myths and local legends into a haunting story of ghosts, grief, and a woman who will not forgive.
Ooh.
I think that's pretty fair. You follow Mercy, who washed up on the shores of Hong Kong with no family and no money and no memories, like, years before. And she's fallen in with a crowd. I'm afraid to say what they do. Just a group of people, probably. Okay. and she is a ghost talker. And how the story starts off, you think that you're going to be following her on, like, a ghost whisperer style journey where she's, like, avenging ghosts or whatever.
Not Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Jennifer Love Hewitt, exactly. But in Hong Kong. But, like, a quarter of the way through the story, it completely flips the script and you get a whole different perspective. And it's actually in a different writing style. I think a lot of people are struggling with this book because the writing completely changes at that point, like a quarter, I don't know, halfway through. I can't remember when it happens. But I listened to the audiobook, and I think maybe that was easier because it's kind of like a story being told to you.
Yeah.
But it was jarring, even for me. Mm-hmm. I was like, well, I don't know if I'm a fan of this. But, like, the more the story went on and it centered on female rage and, like, the stress of familial ties and, you know, how that plays out. Plus, it has this, like, folklore aspect.
I love that.
Yeah. And I especially love it when it's from, like, cultures far outside my own. I like learning, you know, that way through folklore. So this book was really interesting to me, but I do understand why people are struggling with it because there isn't going to be a middle ground. You're going to love it or it's not going to be for you. And it's all because of the change in perspective.
See, I like books like that though, because it's kind of a discussion of why you liked it then. Like, I think some of my favorite books are, you're either going to love it or you're going to hate it, and there's no in between. But I do, right. I do find, and I think we've talked about this with Stephen Graham Jones, or just authors who have a very unique writing style, where sometimes just to get your brain into it, it is a lot easier to listen to it because just the flow of it feels different than it does to read it. And
yeah,
sometimes it just works.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we're going for a book that I recently finished. And
I'm so glad. I think I know what you're going to talk about, and I'm so glad because I think I have a differing opinion because of writing style.
I don't know this is what you're thinking of.
Damn. Oh.
What are you thinking of?
It's the other one. Never mind. I thought you were going to talk about Headlights.
Oh, no, but we should talk about that. I do. We can talk about that, too. I was going to say The Midnight Kingdom by Tara Sim.
That was my second option.
Yes, so I just finished it because a year ago I thought, hey, you know what? I should read The Midnight Kingdom, the sequel to The City of Dusk. And so I proceeded to reread The City of Dusk. And a year later, I finally read the sequel. So that reread was minimally helpful, you know, refreshing some things. And there's still some things I forgot.
How were the demon dogs, the shadow dogs at the party? So good? Were they great? Anyway, keep going.
They were so, so great. And there's so many other things that you learn. But so I can't really tell you, of course, the synopsis for this book. But I will say what I really loved about it was it felt like such, it's like the pivotal book for me where it's like, this is a great sequel. Like, it was no notes. It was so good because it opens the world. We get different points of view. We get a few more points of view that we didn't get before. And it's just more so like she's bringing in characters that were in the periphery and now they kind of have more of a central role or just some role in the story that's going on. So even though our characters are not all together like they were, you still have this group dynamic because you have these little segmented groups. And I just have to say, if you want a morally gray female character, this is the perfect book for you. And if you've also missed Aelin, I Am a God, Galantinius, this is also the book for you because, whoa, yeah. is all I'll say is this just went there. And I was like, no, she can't do that. Like, that's really not going to go well for her if she does it. And she did it. And I was like, oh, okay.
Sick.
So let's see what we're going to do now. Okay.
Yeah. I need to reread the first one because as we've discussed for the last, I don't know, 2 years, I don't remember anything besides, you know, Sun Boy and Music Girl.
Sun Boy and Music Girl. They come a long way, dude, especially Music Girl. Very interesting places they go. I will say, though, it is kind of the perfect time because this series does wrap up this year. Book four comes out sometime in the fall. And book
I'm
going to
wait
came
for
out.
Book four, and then I'm just going to shovel just it shoot, into my brain.
Shoot yeah. through them. Yeah, it was very...
That's going to be my plan, because otherwise, you know me. I'll forget.
Yeah, then it'll take you forever. Also, speaking of that, on that same vein, have you read Hellbent yet? Laura, this podcast is over. What the hell is happening? What do you mean? Oh my god.
Okay, but the third one doesn't come out until September. So I'll do a reread of the first one and disturb myself with you know yes. what. Uh-huh. And then I'll read the second one.
And you get disturbed by glow sticks, and then that's a whole new meaning.
What?
You don't get to know until you read the book, and then I can send you the reel if I can find it again, okay? Okay. Everyone was talking about it when it came out, okay? It was weird.
I don't want to know now.
It's not as bad as that one. It's not as bad as the first, even close, but it's just funny.
I will never forget when I either read or listened to that passage, and I was like, excuse me?
Oh, wait, what's happening?
That didn't even cross my mind as an option until now, but now I'm afraid, so good.
So thanks, Leigh Bardugo.
Okay, we've gotten off
track. So off track. What's how long it took? 13
this is
minutes.
Why, this okay. is why we can't record at nighttime with wine, because there's no...
Hey, I've only had like 2 sips. You're the drunk one, okay?
I had a full glass. I did. Okay, my turn now.
You say words.
So we talked about I Know a Place, Rest Stop, and Other Dark Detours by Nat Cassidy in our
yes,
short stories episode.
I still
episode.
Haven't read that, and okay. I own it.
So I got the audio, yeah. I believe, from Libro FM. Right? Bless them.
Mm-hmm.
And word. Honestly, it's up there with short story collections that I would actually like recommend and even go back really? And revisit like I think the first story is Rest Stop, which I skipped
Fair.
Because I've already read it.
Yeah.
But the second story in this, I don't know why my brain didn't connect the dots. At first I was like, why are we doing this? What's happening? It's like a girl walks into a bar and meets a guy, and that's
oh,
it.
Oh, fun.
And they're talking, and what happens after that, I was like, oh, I did not see that coming. Sorry.
That is so fun.
Poop.
It's okay. I'll bleep it out. It's okay.
And I don't... Normally, I'm not, like, caught off guard by this kind of thing, but it was just really good. And some of the other stories were just... horrific, first of all. Nightmare fuel. Mm-hmm. And the audio production is, like, super well done. I okay. highly recommend the audio version. They have different narrators, and one has, like, a full cast narration, and it's one of his, like, weirder pieces. It's another, like, love it or hate it situation, because mm-hmm. he does a lot of, like, playwriting, and this one was... really made for plays, so even reading it, it's not going to be the same. But let me just read a brief synopsis of a few stories before I blabber on. Okay. So here are the gist of a few. A suspiciously empty gas station rest stop in the middle of the night, littered with googly eyes. A doctor's office where a bottle of booze and a tear-stained folder wait on the desk. A tech millionaire's haunted kitchen. A Bible quoting ventriloquist's dingy apartment, a yoga retreat in the middle of the desert, silent except for the screaming. So it's all about different. At first, I thought it was liminal spaces. So when I started reading it, I was confused because Rest Stop felt like a very liminal space situation. But it's really just like places where dark things can happen or you know, in your imagination, how they can become dark. Like, there's a story about a high school that's very It Follows.
Interesting.
And yeah, it's just almost every story that, you know, there's one or two that I didn't connect with, but like, I really enjoyed Rest Stop when it came out on its own. Mm-hmm. Almost every story in this is a banger that'll give you nightmares.
Oh, I'm ready. I have been like slow. I mean, you know, it's Summerween. I'm like, I should be reading horror, and I'm just like chugging fantasies like they're going out of style right now. So I'm hoping to get back to that. Have you seen the physical copy? Because she's thick. Like, it's a long book.
Of I Know a Place?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Huh.
Oh yeah, she's pretty big. But I am excited because that's our
that
only
Nat sense.
Cassidy release this year.
Because Rest Up on its own is like 150 pages or something, so it doesn't surprise me that it's
yeah, she's a whole like bunch. She's big. Yeah, that I'm excited for that one. I got it. I found it early, and I still have not read it, but I am excited read it because I love. He writes some really good stuff that always makes you want to cry or something.
Uh-huh.
Okay. My next one, let's see. We're going to go to one that we've kind of talked about to save like a fresher one for a little bit later. So we're just going to talk about She Knows All the Names by Michelle Jabiskopora.
But that's on my list.
I knew it would be. Okay, let's chat. Yeah. So this book, also a really good sequel, I would say. I think the way like some of our characters were still together. I like the way that she did it was because like it was an ensemble cast, but not all our characters had met at the beginning. So then they're going through and they're kind of meeting and then they're going different ways. And so you really get to know more of the world and what's going on in terms of this curse and the past and like how history can be rewritten and characters realizing that like, to be good, you have to maybe sometimes do bad things in a way, you know, even if it's not the best, but it is better for people. And there is just that one scene in the end. And if you've read it, you know, like they're just like all coming together. And that whole sequence is just straight out of a movie. It was so fun to read. And I'm sad it's going to be over. I'm sad that I want the third book, but I don't want it to be over.
I know. And you finally, and like, not finally, because it doesn't even feel like you're waiting for the two books, but the payoff was like well worth it. And I love all of these characters so much. Like, they're all so well written. I don't have a single problem with any of it. And in this one, you get new sidekicks, which brought me joy. Because mm-hmm. You know how I love a sidekick.
You love a good sidekick, yes.
But even like the opening. So the first book opens from the perspective of a cat.
Yes, uh-huh.
And this one opens from the perspective of a bird. Mm-hmm. And, like, it all ties in a different way. It's just what she does with, like, the gods and her characters and the past.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. And it makes me so mad that people aren't talking about this series.
They need to. I think it is really well done. And it's also really unexpected. Like, I think the way the second one ended, I did not expect that to be the ending or for one of the things to have happened to happen then. I definitely thought we would have had to go longer before it did. So I think that was really cool because now it's just like all our focus is now on maybe this other thing or maybe something else. You have to read it to find out.
The thing.
The other thing is scary, but also would make a really good movie. Like if you like The Mummy or you like adventures or just...
Yes.
Like, if you like epic fantasy, this is the perfect series for you because the characters are just, they come a long way throughout the entire time of, like, who they are at the beginning, what they want, what they believe, and they're completely different people. Basically, like, who they were meant to be by the end.
Yeah. 1,000%. If you are a person whose bisexual awakening was watching The Mummy, yeah. This book is for you.
It is for you. Correct. It is. I am excited. I think I saw something where she had just, I think she finished writing the third book like a couple weeks ago and she posted something and I'm just like, next year, baby. Can't wait to have my heart broken.
Yeah. I'm waiting for the third book, but I need physical copies of these. Like, this is a book, like, I've read them all on Galley.
Yeah.
And I need the hardcover. on my shelf.
Well, especially they're so beautiful. Like, they are, you know, as much as Laura hates sprayed edges, they have sprayed edges. And
it really hurt my feelings to say it, but they are great.
They are just, but also you don't have copies yet, so that's the difference. But yeah, I would definitely, going to be my favorite series of all time.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's up there. We'll see how it ends, right? I'm not signing on. I've been foolish before. But City of Brass, Throne of Glass.
It can go up there.
His face is the sun.
Yeah.
You know?
Correct. That's where I'm leaning to.
And I can't wait. I have to talk again now, even though this was on my list.
It's on my list, too.
And that's not fair. What are we doing? February, March, April, May, June. No, I forgot about January.
Wait, what are you doing? We're not talking about January.
I'm trying to figure out what happened, where quarters are, okay?
Anything between April and June. April, May, June.
I know. Yes, now yeah. That I remember January is a month.
I know, but January, February, March, that's quarter one. We did that. Now we're at April, May, June.
Yeah, I know. I started at February instead of
June. Oh, so you're counting the quarters from there. Oh, that's bad. That's off.
Everything's fine. Anyway, this is another book we've already talked about, but that's just kind of the way it goes.
It did. Mm-hmm.
I loved Japanese Gothic by Kylie Lee Baker in a way that I cannot explain. Also, Natalie Nottis has narrated at least two of the books that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. So she is also up there with, like, voice acting and the way that she brings characters to life. Because mm-hmm. I think she did Girl with a Thousand Faces. She did.
Look at you.
So I really like her work. That's part of it. But also, the storyline for Japanese Gothic is there's a past line, there's a present line, there's a doorway.
But it's not always a door. And it's not always there.
Mm-mm. Why would it always be there? That'd be too easy.
That would be too easy. That's not how doors work, you guys. In case you didn't know.
I feel like we've done the synopsis for this one, so I'm not going to go too into it. But there's Lee Turner, who's in October of 2026. Mm-hmm. He's living with his dad in Japan, and he doesn't remember how or why he killed his roommate.
Yep.
And he's trying to deal with that. And then we have Sen, who is a young samurai, female samurai, in October of 1877. And her family is in hiding from imperial soldiers because I think the samurai, they want them to go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they had been, like, the change of the regime, I think. And I think they were killing all the samurai because someone else took over or something.
Right. And they need allegiance. There's a story there that I don't remember. But she knows that her father came back from this war and now they're in hiding. Yeah. And then the one of these people is a ghost and one of these stories is a lie is the tagline for this, which I think is brilliant.
Yeah.
But it was well done. It's another one of those where there's like this folklore through line that you don't.
I love that so much.
Yeah, that you don't always, like, see, but it pops up occasionally. Mm-hmm. And again, that's just, like, one of my favorite things. And Kylie Lee Baker is such a talented writer. I love how she sets a scene. I love the atmosphere. She just does a really good job of writing things and writing gory scenes, but making it, like, worth it for the plot. It's not, like, gratuitous for any reason, but it's just, like, this is a graphic thing that happened in this, like, still kind of poetic story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's it. I loved it a lot. I think it's so well done. I love Kylie Lee Baker.
She can do no wrong. She's one of our best friends. Speaking of, did you see the cover for her new one? I think it's called,
Hell
to Pay? Isn't that the name of it? Or it's something similar? I don't.
Something like
that. I read the synopsis.
Is that
briefly.
The YA one?
No, this is her new horror one next year. It's like a demon in an apartment building or something.
Oh, right. Yeah. Right. And you have to trade it things or I can't remember the synopsis now. But yes, I did see that.
Okay, so to go off of one that we have talked about, and also very recently, because it does tie into Tradwives, but I would be remiss to not say Yesteryear again. And I think it is really relevant in case you haven't been on Bookstagram, because so many people are still talking about it in the sense of, I think it is another one that you love it or you hate it, apparently, which is so crazy to me, just because I think the writing was so well done and just the discussions it kind of brings forth is very interesting. So I think it's one of those books where it's like how you react to it kind of says some things in a way.
I was going to say, do you hate it if you're MAGA or
yes, you would hate it if you're MAGA, but that's what it is, but it's not just, that is a big part of it. There's just so much that goes into it. But her writing is really witty. And I think the twist was kind of cool. In terms of, I kept reading and they're like, the twist you won't see coming. And I did not see it coming because I kept being like, how did this happen? What are we going to do? And it was not what I thought. And it was kind of worse than what I was expecting in a way.
Oh, good.
And it's like, oh no, but like, this is very on par for this character. Like, it couldn't have done anything else. I think she paid justice to the character. But I think it's also fun to just see what people are saying about it, because it's like, huh, okay. I don't understand. I don't know. It's always interesting to me to read people's reviews of books that I love. And I'm sure, I don't know if you feel the same way. And they're like, and I DNF'd. I'm like, did we read the same thing? Like, how did you not finish this, to be honest? And so I think it's worth it. If you want, it's a Tradwife story. It follows Natalie Heller Mills. And I also think what's really funny is just the pop culture memes that have come out from this book recently are really funny. And so it is a dumpster fire of a woman's life who is a trad wife, trying to hold her family together amidst just being a woman in America and just facing different fun patriarchy things. And she also happens to wake up in the 1800s and now has to live the trad wife life that she espouses online. And it is just a whirlwind of what the actual hell is going on. And that's kind of the point.
I'm sure she loves it.
No, she does not, unfortunately. But I don't know. She really loves God in ways I don't think you're supposed to love God. I think that goes against the Bible. But, you know, that's her relationship with Jesus, not mine.
Uh-oh.
You can figure that one out.
I haven't read that one yet. It's on my list, and it is on Spotify, so I'll eventually get to it. But I don't want to feel rage. And so
I did, you know what?
I've been avoiding it.
I didn't feel rage in the same way that I think that you would expect maybe from a Tradwife story, because like, I can't say that much about it, but I don't think you will feel rage like what you're expecting. You will be angry, but for different reasons. And you're also against what people will tell you. You're going to like the main character. Like, she gets done. She's not a good person. She is definitely like not the ideal woman or mother, but she's the product of how she was raised and everything around her. She's never claimed, you know what I mean? Like, it's just very,
and she makes it happen
unapologetically. This is what I need, this is what we're gonna do, and this is what I believe, so off. Basically,
I love that for
you.
Her.
Know, like, it's, she's honestly definitely not right, but you also have a hard time. Yeah, it is what it is. And the narrator is really good, so I do recommend audio. It's really fun that way.
Okay. You know how I love an audiobook, as in it's the only thing I read.
It's the only way we have this podcast is audiobooks exist, or else we would just not be here.
It would be a whole lot of nothing.
Zip, zero. So I know I took one of yours. Does that mean you're out now? You're going to pull this?
I'm out now.
Okay, well.
That's it.
My last one, and this is fresh off the press. I finished this last night, but it is going to be a favorite.
Oh.
Oh, it's Direbound by Sable Sorensen.
With the dog?
Yeah, with the dire wolves. Okay, it's a dire wolf. Listen, let's set the scene, all right? So imagine it's the Hunger Games or it's Fourth Wing. Except there
but
are
I have a dog.
But you have dire wolves, and these things are huge, okay? They're big. And you are training for 4 months to go. Basically, you have to be bonded. So what happens? Bonded trials don't happen all the time, okay? They happen randomly. Sure. And they don't tell the military people when they're enlisting because they don't want people to not enlist. So if you enlist when there's a time of a bonding trial, you are automatically sent to go bond, and you have to climb this really crazy high mountain. People are trying to kill you. It's the Hunger Games on a mountain. And cool. If you reach to the top, you get a direwolf, and then you have to go to training. So
does the direwolf still have to choose me? Like, I can get up there and it can choose to eat me instead?
Yes, correct. So cool. Like, getting chosen is only half the part. Like, it could still kill you, and there's still challenges where it or other direwolves could kill you to call the pack. So survival is not guaranteed. And Marin is only doing this because her sister has been kidnapped and she wants to find her sister. And the only way to find her sister is to go to the front lines.
With a really good nose. Sorry.
No, to fight Siphons, aka vampires.
I did not know there were vampires in this book.
Yeah, me either. I didn't either. And they're like, and Siphons. I was like, okay, so vampires. Got it.
Wait a minute.
So there's trials. They call them raw bonds. So everyone who is not fully
bond. No.
They really do, though. That's their name. That's for real.
I don't like it at all.
They have to stay in the castle. And there's a pretty big twist at the beginning. I will say, I don't know if the synopsis is everywhere, so just disclosure, if you end up reading the real synopsis and not my jumbled rambling, they do have, like, listed the tropes there, which is fine. There was one where I was like, how will this tie in? And then my friend was like, OMG, this person. And I was like, okay, so that's how it's going to tie in, then it's going to be them. So maybe just be careful if you don't want to know what the tropes are outside of.
I'm simply not going to, I'm not going to go there. I have had the audio copy for, I don't know, since the second one came out, because I think they released Libro FM, was like, would you like both? And I said, huh, sure.
Me too, uh-huh. But I will say, okay, to make this what could be a very long ramble, very short, very good plot twists, a lot of questions. It kind of felt like a, I don't know if I want to say that book comparison, but it was like, okay, I think this other thing is supposed to happen, but I don't understand because this is happening now, so how do we get there? And then how we get there, I was second guessing myself. I'm like, okay, one of 75 things is about to happen right now, so which way are we going? And it was really cool. And just the layer, I mean, it's a good fantasy book, the layers of the truths that come out and then how, like, that impacts the story and what you know, and there's a good group ensemble. It's just a really good time. And the audio is really good. I've never listened to this narrator before, but I really like her. So I'm hoping
it's on my list.
This sequel will be I'm kind of pegging this as of like what I wish Fourth Wing was in a way, but I'm not through the second book, so I can't give it, because Fourth Wing, iconic, amazing. Iron Flame, you lost me. So I just hope Fury Bound is not the same way, but we're starting strong.
Maybe that's what I'll do after I'm reading that Under the Sea. I sent it to you. The author of Blue Bloods.
Oh, are you listening favorite. To that one?
Yeah, I just started it, and it's only, like, I have 6 hours left. It's, like, 8 hours long, if that. It's a tiny little book.
Okay, wait, but you haven't read Gilded Wolves yet, right?
Mm-mm.
Okay, so I am so scared, because in my top series is Gilded Wolves. And if you're going to compare, this is the first book, at least personally, I've seen ever compared to it. And that's a big deal. So I just need to know if it fills those shoes, because if it does not, then I am going to be very upset.
I can tell you. I can see where it's coming in, because there's like a, I don't know what the synopsis is, so I don't really want to say. That's there's fair. Like an oppressed class of people, and that oppressed class of people is planning a heist.
I mean, the heist is similar.
And there's something else going on the other side.
Okay.
There's a lady.
We'll have to talk, because those are, yeah, that's one I don't see comparisons for all the time, and I'm skeptical. But I downloaded
it. I haven't read it, so I can't really help you, but
come on, Laura, damn,
I know I'm behind. There's another series too that I'm like, oh, I have to read this, because it was compared to Six of Crows maybe, and I was we have to read this, and dangerous. Then you read all three, and I
read all three already.
Mm-hmm. Or at least the first two.
What series are you talking about?
I think it's by Mae Cortland, maybe.
Does that you're talking real? About Fourth
does
Realm.
That sound like a name? Maybe. I don't know. Yes, I don't know what I'm talking about.
I can see where the fourth I can see where that comes in. I could see why they would say Six of Crows. Different vibes, but like also not really, but also yes. I can't tell you. You have to read it. I only read the first one so far. I have not finished it yet.
Oh, I thought you read a bunch of them. Yeah, I read the first chapter of the first one, and at the time I was like, this is too YA.
That's right. Oh my God, we talked about that because I was like, I think I read it when it came out, and I was like, oh my God, this is so good. And you're like, meh. And I was like, what do you mean? I finished it so quickly. And that was when I was...
Had I pushed through those like first two chapters, I probably would have been okay. But there was just like a really cheesy line from a man. And I was like, nope,
I'm sorry. If you can get through Flame and Shadow, and I know this line came later where he can't wear underwear, like you could read this book because it's not even the same.
Okay. Yeah, but I just blacked that out.
Well, you're welcome for bringing that back. We talked about it. A lot.
And I've forgotten again on purpose.
Well, you're welcome. I'm so glad to have given that to you. Do we want to say what, and this is random, so I'm putting you on the spot, Q3, what books are you looking forward to?
Oh, f*** off. I don't know. I don't even know what I read in Q2.
I don't even know what Q2 is.
Well, I do, just I forgot January was a month. You know what I can say?
Yes.
What about Q3?
Yeah.
I am oddly looking forward to Riley Sager's next book. The plot sounds really good.
You know, I saw a reel for it and I was like, I'm going to let you be the sacrificial lamb because I got burned on the last one or last two. And I'm just like, meh.
I don't think you read the last one, The Middle of the Night. Did you skip? I thought you skipped that one.
Is Middle of the Night the main male? Is that the first time you wrote a dude? And the kid disappears and there's a ghost child or something.
Yes.
Yeah, no, I did not finish that. I was like, I don't care. It wasn't bad, but I wasn't like, oh my God, must continue. Yeah. Like, I maybe wrong time. Could have just been a not right now situation.
Yeah.
About a year ago, but.
I mean, it was fine. But I don't have the synopsis right now. And, you know, he's very famous. He doesn't need me to read his synopsis. But I am oddly looking forward to that in a way that I didn't anticipate. And my personal Q3, it came out earlier, but I want to read Tapestry of Fate.
Yes, I have not read that. I feel like we were so excited and I have an arc and I did not read it yet. So
I can't force myself to read with my eyes. I'm doing my best.
It'll get there. And I also need to reread the first one.
I read that in September, so I'm still mostly fresh on that. Mm. It hasn't been a year yet. I put that one off for a long time. So I think I should be okay there. Book releases. Honestly, I don't even know. I know there are others, but I couldn't tell you. I just got, I think both did. Isabel Cañas has her YA, air quotes, debut coming out. And you didn't respond to me because you don't love me. But it's giving it's giving The Possession of Alba Diaz, but for children. A very similar, like, oh, we have to escape this thing happening in the city. This time it's war instead of plague. And go up into the mountains. Oh no, our house is haunted. Like, it's kind of like Hacienda and The Possession of Alba Diaz had a baby for teens.
Oh, fun. So we just get like a second dosage of that.
I think so. So I'm excited. But
that one's fun. I know, I mean, we already talked about Deadbeat is Q3.
Oh yeah, I actually don't know when that comes out. I probably shouldn't have said Q3.
I pre-ordered it. It is September. Middle and September, I think.
I actually also pre-ordered it, even though I haven't read Hellbent yet.
Oh my! Well, you should pre-order it. The Barnes & Noble edition is really cool, so I'm very excited for that.
Pre-ordered yesterday, I'm sorry, three books.
What'd you get?
Sequels, whose first ones I've not read.
Oh, good for you. I think I was thinking about that. I was like, I don't need to pre-order, and then it was, thought of like three books I could pre-order and I was like, oh no, and today's the last day, so I might be placing a Barnes & Noble order. Ooh, so that
I pre-ordered Kiss Slay Replay by Rachel Harrison.
I was gonna say I know that one comes out in Q3, which I pre-ordered too. I'm excited for that one.
I always look forward to her books.
Yes, it'll be a good time.
I cut you off. I'm very sorry.
No, I was going to say Kiss Slay Repeat, whatever it's supposed to be. Kiss, play, repeat, replay, something.
No idea.
Murders something at a wedding. Rachel Harrison's new book I'm very excited for. So
exactly.
There it is. Well, in 2 weeks, we're going to be talking about The Library After Dark. And
sure we are.
Spoilers abound. So really, please read it. Narration, amazing. It was great.
The audiobook's really good.
If you like mysteries and you like libraries and you like weird family relationships and dark occult ghost things, you're going to like it. So
dark occult ghost things.
Dark occult ghost things. There you go. Say that 5 times fast. Or
can't.
In the meantime, you could follow us at Plot Twist I Forgot on Instagram and just look at our bare feed. Or you can look at our personal handles in the show notes below. And we'll be back in 2 weeks.
Bye.